hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Good evening, everyone. We thank God for another Saturday. I'm Eben. I'm going to be with you from now till 9 p.m. And we are continuing the series with the SU group. And our brother is here tonight. And it's very important. Parents have to know what is happening, how to prepare their children, how to help their children, how to advise them. We were having a chat before the studio, like we came on live, and I was telling him that we are in a time where it's very dangerous to be an ignorant parent, because ignorance in these days means you will be sleeping, but your legs will be virtually out because you just don't know how things are shaping up in our schools and amongst the youth and the teens and all what the things they are doing. So it's very important to be informed in these times that we live in. All right, but first we'll be looking at some of the news, some of the things happening in the world, and we'll be talking a lot about the SU afterwards. It's very important we get to know these things. It's very important to get to know these things. But first, let me play this song, and then we'll get into the program. This is a beautiful song by the Maranatha Singers. Thank you. No Need to Fear. Very beautiful song by the Brooklyn. I nearly said that's Maranatha singers. No Need to Fear. God is with us. And it's important. Parents have to know. It's not about being afraid, but it's about knowing that God is with your child. But it should come with being informed so that you can know how to do the right things. Okay, so let's start with some of the news. You have this first one is the US, but I keep saying that a lot of these statistics, yes, US, but it has a bearing in other countries because the conditions are virtually the driving forces for some of these statistics are similar here. We are seeing them here. 10% of high school students attempted suicide in 2010. More than half of girls said girls sad or hopeless. This is according to CDC in the US. Poor mental health and suicidal ideation and attempts have increased among high school students over the past decade. And according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and more than half of girls struggle with persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. The CDC's findings are reflected in the latest Youth Risk Behavior Survey prepared by the Health Agency's Division of Adolescent and School Health. The report highlights trends in adolescent health and well-being using data collected every 2 years among the nationally representative sample of the U.S. high school students. Nearly all indicators of poor mental health and suicidal thoughts and behaviors increased from 2011 to 2021. The percentage of students who experience persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness seriously considered attempting suicide, made a suicide plan, and attempted suicide increased, the report says. The percentage of students who were injured in a suicide attempt did not change. In 2021, the report says some 42% of high school students felt sad or hopeless almost every day for at least 2 weeks in a row that they stopped doing their usual activities. Nearly 60% of female students were found more likely to experience these feelings, followed by Hispanic and multiracial students who were more likely than Asian and Black and White students to harbor these feelings. The report added that nearly 70% of LGBT this is very significant. Nearly 70% of LGBT identified students or students involved in same-sex relationships reported feelings of sadness or hopelessness, making them the most at-risk category of students. Let me repeat. Nearly 70% of LGBT identified students or students involved in same-sex relationships reported feelings of sadness or hopelessness, making them the most at-risk category of students. Let me pause here on this. I mean, clearly, you can see that they are not happy in the lifestyle they've adopted. They are not happy. I mean, because if they are the most high risk regarding suicidal thoughts, and aside the statistics, I've read other reports here on this program where, you see, the devil would always give you the sweet side of things, the good side, or make it look like it's good. But eventually, the ultimate thing is to get you into hell. So get into the lifestyle, you get depressed, kill yourself, go to hell. I mean, that's the simple formula. You see, so they get into it, but they are not happy. I mean, that's as simple as that. They are not happy. So you see, these forces are driving the youth. And the other significant thing is more girls than boys. Girls in the sense that I've talked about this when I was treating digital parenting last year and last 2 years. The social media is a major factor in this. The Instagram, I mean, the company now, they are Meta company, the Facebook, Instagram company. Their own internal research confirmed this, that Instagram is causing girls to be anxious and get into depression because of, you know, they post pictures on it. Nobody is liking it. Nobody is commenting. Sees another friend's own. It's like, I mean, having several hundreds or maybe thousands likes, comments and all that. Oh, psychologically, that means I'm not beautiful. my friends don't like me, then people get into depression. Girls get into depression. Okay, next Sunday I'll put another beautiful picture again. That one too, nobody responds to it. Oh, that means they don't like me. Then depression gets into suicidal thoughts. Then this world is not worth living in again. Let me kill myself. I mean, these are the realities happening. There was one case I read, one report, where the girl killed herself and now the parents were considering suing Instagram, I mean, Meta company or Facebook company. You see, these are danger signs. So, you see, when you talk about these things, the parents should be careful about how their children get onto social media and what they do and all these things. It's not as like you are just being extremist, but it's out of the abundance of caution that the parents should know the dangers that these things pose to the children. Even adults are suffering the side effects, the psychological effects of social media. So how much more the teens? It's a very serious issue. It's a very serious issue. So I believe some of these warnings would be helpful in terms of parents in advising their children about how far they go with the usage of social media. Okay, chaplain to appeal tribunal ruling over firing for school sermon countering LGBT ideology. I mean, last year I read of this chaplain who was sacked. I mean, a new Church of England school, one of their schools, his crime is he was preaching the true word of God against LGBT and was sacked because he preaching the true word was rather sacked because he's a risk to the children. Oh, this world has changed. So a chaplain who was blacklisted and banned from officiating in the Church of England after he was falsely accused of being a terrorist. Yeah, that's the name they branded him, a terrorist, for preaching the Bible. For preaching traditional Christian views on sexual ethics during a chapel service, says he will appeal an employment tribunal's ruling issued earlier this week. The case involves Reverend Bernard Randall, 50, who was denied permission by the Bishop of Derby, right, Reverend Libby Lane, to work as a minister following his dismissal by Trent College in Nottingham in August 2019, labeling him a moderate risk to children and vulnerable adults because of his Christian sexual ethics. East Midlands Employment Tribunal, which was to decide whether the actions of Church of England Bishop Lane, who blacklisted Randall, fall within the remit of an employment tribunal, ruled against the chaplain, the UK-based group Christian Concern, whose legal arm, the Christian Legal Centre, is supporting the chaplain's case, said in a statement. After a legal hearing at East Midlands Employment Tribunal in September 2022, Employment Judge Victoria Butler ruled against Randall, the group said, explaining that as per a common practice observed in cases concerning Christian freedoms, Jack Butler utilized the Church of England's valuing all God's children school guidance to counter Randall's position. So he did the right thing by teaching the children. He was preaching at a school, so a chaplain of a school, and preaching that the word of God says LGBT is wrong. That is his crime. Because the Church of England and their school supports and believe in LGBT. The children have a right to choose. So to come and preach that it is wrong per the Bible standard. And this is supposed to be a Christian school, quote and unquote Christian school. So to preach from the Bible, I mean, it should be the standard. Rather, he was branded a terrorist, blacklisted. No. You know, the world, it's horrible. Very horrible now. Okay, at least one good side. A ripple effect from Asbury. Last 2 weeks I talked about the Asbury revival happening in the University of Asbury in the U.S. And so a ripple effect from Asbury. Secular universities now seeing revival gatherings on their campuses. And they listed some universities that are started meeting, prayer meetings and worship. And I was amazed. I've been amazed. I joined one of the few times, like, just to see how it was going and all. But I'm amazed as to how some two are criticizing, hey, Christians, we are not correct. We are not correct. Criticizing, this cannot be a revival. God is not in it. It is fake. It is this. And some are pastors. And I was reading some of the comments, and people have done videos on it. One said, I mean, because they are not preaching the word of God, so it cannot be genuine. And I said, must we always preach in church before we realize that God has visited us? Must we always be, this is the word of God, before God can operate? And I was thinking, so when the apostles were waiting in the upper room before the Pentecost came, were they reading the Bible? What I mean, there was no Bible to read in the first place. So why is it that worship and prayer alone cannot exist without preaching? Because the preaching is not part, then it cannot be the true Holy Spirit moving. I mean, all sorts of analysis. And so you see, my point is very simple. If it is of God, the fruits will show afterwards. So why criticize it? Why condemn it? Why run it down? I mean, but that's the world for you now. So we just take it as it is. But see, instead of people being rather happy that at least something is happening that is turning people back to God, some are offended. Okay. Then another good news. And yeah. A historic first. Vietnam, which is a communist country, allows Franklin Graham to hold evangelism events with 300 churches. So it was dubbed a historic first. Vietnam's communist government has permitted a foreign Christian speaker to hold an evangelistic outreach. The evangelist Franklin Graham will share God's love with the people of the Southeast Asian country this weekend at the Spring Love Festival. And this is a historic event because this is the first time the government has given permission for an evangelistic outreach with a foreign speaker outside of a religious holiday. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association shared in a statement to Christian Post. And indeed, you see, God is moving in his own way. But you see, I was telling someone that it's because we want to see things the way we want to see it. So if God chooses a different path, it's like, no, then God's hand is not in it. Because we expect God to operate this way. If he chooses to use other things and other means and other methods, then no, God is not in it. We really have to be careful. Because you see, I mean, God is God. I mean, so he is sovereign. He does what he wants and he can do what and how, whatever he wants to do it. But as to how we always want to box God in a situation, revival should always look like this. Because history, revival, the Azusa Street, the Welsh revival, you mentioned all the revivals, they were like this. So any revival now too should be the same formula. No, no, no. I mean, as to seriously, it's really amazing how the time some of those pastors spent to do videos to criticize and preach against this whole thing. If they had spent that time to pray about it or pray to God for it and pray that God help this revival to continue, or let me also experience my own in my church, I think it would have been better time. But to criticize, oh, maybe because they are not the center stage of it, so it's like, well, then if it's not me, then it should go to over the bar. So then that's exactly what we are seeing. You see, that's why the body of Christ, we are not even one. Instead of being happy that, oh, the revival is not happening in my church, but it's happening elsewhere. No, if it's not in my church, then if it's not in my church, then we all shouldn't experience it. I mean, with this attitude, how can there be a revival in the first place in your church? I mean, because you see, if you have this attitude, assuming this revival wave is still keeps moving, and I pray that it will move over your church and to not enter your church because you are not ready for it, because you are going to resist it. You know, I was told of a case in a church some time back where the youth decided to pray and pray and pray and pray, and God started moving in the church, miracles and testimonies and all. Not knowing, the pastor and the wife were not happy. So when they saw that, and they were praying hours, and things were happening. We have to stop it. So they stopped them from praying, and the miracles and the power of God and all movement in the church, it stopped. I mean, this is how low we can go as Christians. If it's not us, then it shouldn't be for everybody too. But if you're a pastor and you are truly a man of God, and the youth in the church have prayed and now God is moving in your church, things are happening, miracles are happening, testimonies, people are getting saved,
Even people outside the church are feeling the power of God and are experiencing God and are testifying. Shouldn't you be happy as a pastor? Because you are not part of it. Instead of going to join them to pray, you didn't go and join them. And your wife was also pushing and pushing. Let's stop them. And indeed, they stopped them. And the fire was quenched, just like that. This church, can they pray for another revival to happen again? I don't know, but it's only God. I wonder how, if they had to pray for a revival again, how long they would. Because God came in his own way, and he said, no, we don't want you here. I don't want you, me, that the pastor. I don't want you, God. Let me have my own way. Let me also be preaching my normal preaching, and feel good as a leader in the church. Because when God comes, God is the center stage, and man becomes low. Some people are not happy. They still want to be the ones above for God to be behind. God help us. But it's very unfortunate, and we just have to encourage ourselves. You know, you hear some of these things, it's so disheartening, but it's to be expected anyway. All right, this evening I have Brother is here, Brother Billy, with the SU, Ashanti region, and we've had this the fourth edition, or third. Yeah, third edition, yeah. We've been talking SU issues and what's happening in our schools. Let me start off with this first. This week, I had a teacher friend call me. We were having a chat. And he said some things which really shook me to the bone. Where he said that, you know, in his school, they've noticed that the gay boys, the strategy now they're adopting is to get into preferred positions. Because if you're a prefect, you have advantages, privileges. You have, they have their own cubicles in the dormitories. So that's the agenda. Aspire to be prefects so that you can have your privacy in your cubicles and they can live like couples and do whatever they want to do. That's serious. And so they are prefects. So privilege, they can have their meetings. One is a prefect, one of the, you know, positions in the school. So they use that facility for their meetings there and all that. And it's like, this is worrying, because you know, when you hear things like this, then it tells you that this scheme is well planned. It's a strategy that is really deep-rooted than we think it is. I was telling Brother Billy when we were chatting before the studio that if we are to do a referendum in Ghana today, secret votes, as we always do, vote in Ghana, yes or no, we will be amazed with the outcome of that vote. Because you see, on the surface, LGBT, but there's an undercurrent moving in this country which is very, very dangerous. Extremely dangerous. It is moving. And if we are to vote today as a country, I will not be surprised if they can cross 50%. You see, it's happening. It's happening in the schools. It's happening in the society. But officially, because as a country, we frown on it officially. It's like everybody pretends like, but behind the scenes, things are happening. Parents have to understand some of these things so that you know how to talk to your children when they are going to school. You know the strategies these people are adopting. I mean, I just want us to rewind from to this angle. We treated it last 2 weeks, a bit, but let's move to 9th edition from this angle. Yeah. So what advice will you give parents listening to this? I'm sure what I said has shocked a lot of parents now. But what advice can you give them that now their children are going to school or are in school already? What advice should they give to these children? What should they look out for? What should they avoid? What should they be careful about and all that?
All right. Thank you very much. Greetings from Scripture Union to all Scripture Union members who are listening to this program and other listeners. You know, before I give advice to parents, the kind of advice that they should give to their wards, there's something that for me, which is very critical. You see, you train up the child in a way to be content with what the child has.
Contentment.
Yes. That's the foundation.
Yeah.
Because if the child is not brought up in that way, it means that anything can just push the, the child to.
Actually, we agreed that tonight that would be the main topic.
Yes.
But the LGBT shocker has. we'll still get to the contentment.
That is where it starts from. Because the child is going to school.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever is given to the child is not okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
When they see things, they want to
have
it. When they see things on TV, they want to have it. Yeah. When they see things on social media, they want to have it.
Comparison.
So, yes. I remember last year, there was a conference for women. It's called Confidence Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And because she said it, so I'm going to say. This woman, Gifty Auntie, was the speaker. And she said something. She said, look, the problem with today's generation is that they don't like it, what they have. They are not content with their current situation.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody wants to move on in life. We want to bring changes. But you see, we see things and we think that, oh, they have it, so I must also get it. And she was using her own example. She said that, there were times that she stood by people's car, took pictures.
Oh, yeah, it's normal now for the girls. Yeah.
And people saw it, hey, your car is up. Meanwhile, she was not having a car.
Yeah.
So people see this and they want to. And that is where they are also coming from. They know that, okay, let's go with this to entice them.
Yeah.
Let's introduce them. Let's know that, they can have everything. And like you said, you see, once you get into it, it's difficult for you to come out of it.
Yeah.
So their plan is to introduce it to them with all kinds of things that will entice them, that will make them feel they are happy. So they go to school. Some schools, we said the other day, they have teachers who are their reps to introduce these young ones into LGBT, IQ, whatever. Yes. And these teachers introduce, especially when the young ones come, the first years come to school.
Yeah.
They introduce them to, they make friends and gradually they introduce them to it. They assure them that they are going to protect them. So seniors don't beat them. They tell them that whatever they need, they are going to provide for them. Class, whether they do well or they don't do well,
they'll pass.
They will pass.
I said, Baba.
So if you go to a school, if you go to any school, if you're a student, first year student, you go to school and you have a teacher, your teacher saying that, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to pass you.
Provide for you.
Provide for you. And if the child is not coming from a home where he was brought up to know that what I have should be okay for me, then it's easy for this child to go into it. Again, they also have students that have been coached, that have been trained. Just like scripture, you know, we do.
Yeah.
You know, we run leadership training for members so that they can lead their groups to prepare them so that they can also become good leaders, good managers when they grow up.
Yeah.
So they also have people that they've coached them, they have trained them as how they can get people into this group.
Recruitment.
Recruitment. So they do that. They have register where the names of, they know. So they know this person is this dormitory, this person is this, this. They know everything. So they have they've trained them and they are introducing them into this. So parents, if you have your child going to school this week, those who went last week, and those who are still going, you should be praying for them. But those who are yet to leave, let them know that they are okay with whatever they should be okay with whatever they have. Other than that, it's easy for people to. And then, you see, not too long ago, I've heard a woman passing some comments. She said that she went to visit her daughter in one of the secondary schools, mm-hmm. and when she got there, he said that the child said that next time you should come with, you know, I think I don't know whether it's Bolt or Uber. Mm-hmm. They have the big car, and then they have one. He said okay. that the doctor told her that if she's coming in that small car, he shouldn't come there. He shouldn't come to visit her at all. Hey. So now, anytime she's going, she goes with a big one.
to satisfy
because their friends, parents are coming in big cars.
Next time, yes. the next time, the girl will say that go and rent a four-wheel drive V8 and exactly. come and bring. And that's because like the standard will be going higher and higher and higher.
And the woman succumbed to that, so she's been going with big ones. So he has to get it out with one of the drivers that had big one, and that driver charges more.
It's a luxury there.
So if your child is growing up this way,
wrong move.
And it gets to a point when she doesn't have, how is she going to survive?
It means that any means. Yeah.
But Paul says something that I know how to live without food. Mm-hmm. I know how to live with food. So in all situations, nothing can push me to do things that I don't want to do. But we don't train our children this way. So they go to school and this thing is there. So LGBT, and the thing is that some school authorities are aware. But the thing is, they have, you know, they are well connected.
They are afraid, yeah.
So if you are head of an institution and you want to, because somebody say, what are the school authorities doing about it?
Yeah, you know, we're talking about it this evening.
Yes, what are they going to do about it? Some of them wish they can do something about it.
Yeah.
But how dare you to make that move?
Ghana and Sensem.
If you want to be transferred, then
I know the system. Oh yeah.
So that is what is happening.
Because there's a school, let me cut in. The first day I mentioned that there's a school where a pastor goes to preach, and then the head will tell the pastor, oh preacher, lesbianism, like they know this is a crisis in the school.
No, a school has
this
invited
is the head
us.
Though. This
school,
is the head saying it.
Yes, a school has invited us because to come for missions.
Yeah.
Because they think that this thing is out of control in their school. Another school has invited us because they've realized that occultism is a big issue. That a student can look straight into the teacher's eyes and said, you are a fool.
Okay.
And the teacher cannot say anything.
Wow.
This is where, because they think that they have power. They can, I mean, this occultic, whatever. They have power, so they can do anything. Nothing can stop them. So the school heads think that things are getting out of. The only solution is that they need Christ. Therefore, we should come for 3 days missions in that school.
Yeah.
So that God will intervene in the situation. And that is what happens. Because it gets to a point where we are helpless.
It's only God.
It's only God.
You know something? I said it on this program not too long ago, a few years, when the GES brought in the no corporal punishment, all those list of things not to be done in schools again. And I said it here on this program. The same mistakes that the West made is exactly the same thing that the donors. That's where, you see, when you're a poor person, beggar, you're a beggar like Ghana, begging. That's what happens. They tell you what to do. So they push these things on us. And because we are a begging nation, we can't say no. We just accept whatever they push on us. And we accepted that. You see, this is where. So you lay the foundation by first withdrawing the controls by the system, like the teachers, the heads and all. Now they are powerless. Now when they introduce these evil things in, you can't do anything. That's exactly what we are saying.
Yeah, you know, it's not... Well, I don't want to go into politics aspect of it. But the thing is that, I mean, truth must be told, we are not poor as a nation.
Oh no, for that one, no, I mean...
Selfishness, our greediness is killing us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always don't have. Meanwhile, we have enough. But few people will keep it as if the whole nation we don't have. And they want more. And when they get more, what do they do with it? So, well... If you say you don't have money, before I give you that money,
condition,
you must do this.
Yeah.
You must do that. So they will come. How come? I mean, I don't know. We know history, but we are refusing to go to England. The church,
Church of England,
The school that you mentioned, who built it?
Church of England.
What was the foundation that was laid? Was it on LGBT?
No.
Or on Christ?
It was on Christ.
Sometimes we talk about Christianity, and sometimes I look at them and you ask yourself, even in Ghana, if you can speak English, you should be grateful to Christianity.
Yeah,
if you have a hospital to visit, you should be grateful to Christianity. And even across the globe, because hospitals and schools,
the missionaries,
the
foundation.
Other than that, I don't know where we would have been.
Yeah,
you understand. But we are refusing. But we all understand that we are also in the end times.
Yeah,
we all understand that we are in the end times. So more things are even coming.
Yeah,
because like it started with LGBT and it has gone beyond that. So people want to have freedom to sleep with animals. People want to have freedom to sleep with dead bodies. people have been given opportunity, a restaurant to operate where if you want to eat human beings, you can eat. So this is where we've gotten to.
Yeah.
So we should look at it. I mean, Christians should look at it that this is a spiritual battle just anything at all. And this is where we need to be united to fight against this. So if you have a church, you say that this is my church. So when we go there, it's only for my church. Then all of us are going to fail. Because if it's only for your church.
And that's where we are. Because we failed.
Now, anything happens to a church, and we think that this is not my church. And we speak against that church. Instead of praying for them. Now, just like a revival. Something has happened. What do we do? Let us come together. Even if they are not preaching, the time that you are going to spend, you put, how do you call it, a camera in front of you
and criticize.
Why don't you pray that God help me and let revival also start the way I want my revival in my church?
That's it.
The way I want my revival in my church, let it start that way.
Yeah.
No. But if you are not too spiritual, you criticize a lot.
Oh yeah.
You criticize. You know, you never criticize the bad things, but rather the good things.
Yeah.
And that is what is happening. So parents, if you have a child going to school, for me, my advice is that please do get in touch with Christian teachers who are on campus.
Yeah.
Christian teachers who are on campus.
Exactly. Every school, there's an SU patron.
Yes. And again, make sure that your child also goes to Scripture Union.
Yeah.
SU. Get in touch with SU patron or patroness on campus, and they will guide them.
Yeah.
In fact, you need to get report if possible. Get the contact of some of the leadership.
You can be monitoring
to monitor
and ensure they are going. Yeah.
Yes, where they are going. Because see, they come to school and first year they are so spiritual.
Ujashios.
But as, from second year, third year, that is where they come as good boys, good girls. Mm-hmm. But gradually, as they get to
the fire,
then the whole thing changes. Yeah. So you introduce them to Scripture Union. You get a teacher, especially the SU patrons, to guide them, to help them. And you should also try and visit them. Because you see, some parents
don't visit at all.
Academic
year, see your back.
And, you know, let me tell you some funny story. Years ago,
it
happened in one of the schools. I went there, Scripture Union meeting. I went there to visit, them, and it was their visiting hour.
Yeah.
And I met one or so for Penyipa. Then, when I met him, there is a Billy. Your sister, I sent for your sister, and she says she's not coming. Yes, or so for Penyipa. I don't want to mention the name. He went to the school, And it was, I think, the girl's final year.
Yeah.
She went there to visit her. She sent for her.
A daughter?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And she said that she won't come.
Wow.
And I said, why? What is the problem? You know, the first year that she dropped that girl,
she never went.
That was the first. And her last was the final year. So when he sent for this girl, she said she won't come.
Whoa.
So I have to. So I have to
convince the girl.
Send somebody that I said she should come.
Wow.
And when the lady came, she looked straight into her dad's eyes and said, "You should be thankful to Billy. Otherwise, to be honest with you, I wouldn't have come."
Wow.
I wouldn't have come. Irrespective of what you do, irrespective of how busy you are,
make time.
The generation that we live in
is not
a good thing. So make time. Both parents should regularly visit their wards in schools. Every visiting hours, not only to just give them food. These days is not only enough to give them everything that they need when they are going to school. But the most important thing is that go there, visit them, get a teacher, get reports, even get to know some of their friends, because they can tell you more. Because sometimes the teachers may not know some of the things, but their friends, their colleagues, their schoolmates may know, their classmates may know the true nature or character of your child. So let us not be too money conscious.
Oh yeah.
Otherwise we lose something precious.
Yeah.
Something that we are hopeful for in the future. We will not get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go and look for money, go and look. You are so busy. But you don't care about the proper upbringing of this child. That's where you go to school to know how things are going. You guide them. If they have issues, they should come to you. Leave everything, especially those who leave everything to their wives.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because you see, fathers have this spiritual
covering. Yeah.
So you don't leave everything to the mother. No.
Yeah.
It's time for us to be too responsible. You know, and it's not good to say this, but I must say it. Mm-hmm. You realize that those who are into church work
are
too busy for their homes, and they think they are working
for God. It's a mistake. You see, you can't neglect your family and think you are doing God's work, so it's good enough. No. It's a wrong thing.
So they don't go. Most are thoughtful. Don't go to visit. You have just few of them that go to visit their children in school.
You know, the times we are in now, you know, I was saying that parenting in this generation is completely different from any other generation. So if you think, oh, me go school, enemy go school, mami amesrami, papa amesrami, no, you see, the era we are in, the demonic forces at play are not the same demonic forces when we were in school. Now, these ones are well-trained and well-groomed for the season. They know how short it is. The time is too short that they have to overwork and get as many souls to hell within the shortest possible time. So it's like they've come with full aggression. I can't remember the exact year. If maybe the one listening, what I'm coming to say, the one who sent out to me, if you are listening, you can resend it. It's been a while. This was before COVID. And the person sent me, it was like a vision another Christian had, another pastor or a Christian, I've forgotten. But I remember the exact content of it, in which the person was an open vision, saw the skies, and a lot of demons were just dropping off. And the Lord told the person that these are demons specifically for the LGBT. And worldwide, there's going to be a massive increase. So the church has to really contend in prayer against these demonic forces coming upon the world. So it's like they've been released. Spiritually, they've been released. A few weeks or months ago, I read one article here, an actress called Rebel Wilson. She stated how she's now a lesbian and they have a daughter, whatever, I mean, those surrogates or whatever thing. But she was saying how she became a lesbian. And when I read that article, it shook me because she said she was a straight woman. She had no interest in the same sex at all. But she acted a movie. Listen carefully. She acted the movie and played that role.
Mm.
And after that, the interest came. As we are believers, so we should understand what she is saying. After acting it, the demons took over. I mean, that's simple. That's the spiritual, I mean, explanation. Because she had no interest in it. But after acting the movie, the interest, everything changed after that. Now, liken it to the watchers of that movie. Those who watch it are also getting influenced. That's the reason why Hollywood has set an agenda. They have an agenda. Hallmark Entertainment, a lot of the big production houses have set an agenda by 2025. A certain percentage of their movies should contain LGBT content. I mean, before Obama left office, the wife congratulated Hollywood for the role they've played in promoting LGBT worldwide. There's an agenda.
Yes.
A percentage. Push it in the movies. And as people are watching just a few seconds of it, the demons get into you. So people are getting into this lifestyle, not only by just being influenced by others and all, like introduced into it physically by others, but they are getting it through the entertainment systems. As they watch these movies, the demons, then they are now being tempted to try it out, then they get into it. So the forces contending with our children now is varied and is really serious. So we just can't gloss over it as, oh, NFA, this, No.
Now, let me tell you something that will shock you. You know, what they do is that, well, I mean, introducing them into this thing.
Yeah.
Some of the phones that they give to them, they have the young one, JHS, SHS.
The iPhones.
No, the phones that they give to them, you know, they will do all kinds of things secretly, pray over it, you know, do all kinds of things, then they give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not everything that you are supposed to accept.
That's exactly
it. It's not everything that you are supposed to accept. Because once you accept it, then you go into it.
Yeah.
Now, there's something going on. Let me say, they got them Sakawa, whatever things that they do. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes beyond that. Now, give you phone.
And iPhone.
Phone, and then they sleep with you. Now, this is what is happening. Once they sleep with you, and they try to impregnate you, and they have their own doctors.
Yeah.
So when you get pregnant, then you go to that doctor. Now, when they do the abortion, then they use that thing for their rituals.
Initiation, yeah.
And young people, they go there, they will give you phone. They will give you phone. It's not everything that you're supposed to take.
I don't know what
the girls want phones. The girls want to wear things. But the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 3 says that, you see, there's time for everything. And season for every activity. See?
Yeah.
But the young girls today, they want to pose. They go and stand in front of the camera. They pose, take pictures, and put it there out there. Pose, take pictures, put it out there. Now, they are doing things, people are doing things to make looks like, oh, it's nice, it's this and that, so you must also get it. And some of them, they send it to you free of charge. I tell you, oh, you can contact me, and they send them their thing free of charge.
Yeah.
What to wear. Some of the things that they wear, and they send it to them. So somebody, you see the person, oh, then DM me, and they'll make friends. Oh, don't worry, I will send you, and they will send their dress to you, they will send a necklace to you,
this part
they,
right, that will bring
they will
it
send
right
you
now.
The watches, and you love it, but they are introducing or initiating you into it. So you can be there and you feel for sex, you can be there and you not have feeling, you grow and not even have feeling for you, a woman, you don't have feeling for a man.
Yeah.
And these things are things that they do and send it to people.
Yeah.
So if the child is growing and if the child is not okay with what he or she has, then there's wahala. Another thing is that let the kids know how to pray over whatever they get.
They are getting, But me, I'm of the view that teach them not to even accept things from these people at all. Because, you see, if you are content with what you have, why you are a child in school? Why do you need a phone? If even someone is giving a free phone, you don't need a phone whilst you are in school. You see, we should teach them the strict standards of knowing to how to say no. Because, you see, now no is a very powerful word that we must teach our children.
Yes.
To say no to all sorts of things. Years back, many years back, one pastor said something. At that time, I didn't understand him, but now I understand him very well. That he took his children, they were very young then, very young children, to a hotel to let them feel like the hotel environment, restaurant, how to eat at the restaurant, like let them feel like a good life. And he said the reason why he did that was so that one day a certain rascal will not come and deceive the girl that, oh, let me take you to a hotel. A certain sugar daddy will not come and deceive the son, let me take you to a hotel. Because if they've been able to, like, if it's all about affordability, if you are, I mean, it's affordable, but if they've been exposed to, at least they'll be able to eat in a restaurant, and you can't come and deceive them with fried rice, maybe even if eating better ones at a better hotel, so you can deceive you with some small fried rice, be that, oh, let me go and sleep with you because of fried rice. But now when I look at the way the deception is going, yes, we have to really groom our children well in educating them, in letting them understand how the world is working now, how the systems are working. Because you see, a lot of parents are not having interactions with their children regarding these things. But it's time we break the ceiling and say things as they are. Because either we say it now, pretend it's not happening, but eventually you get to know that the worst is even happening.
It's true.
Oh, yeah.
So parents should really wake up. Because, the social media is doing more. The social media is doing more harm.
Are you serious?
By virtue of what I do, so I go to hotels and you see almost every Sunday there's a party and people are running. Students are running away from school. Girls. Mm-hmm. People are running away from school to go.
Yeah.
Most every weekend. So we have students that run away from campus every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Girls party. What are they going to do?
Oh, yeah.
They have one for boys. Sometimes some of them, they organize it, and then, okay, if you're a guy, you have to pay. You have to pay. So come, the girls are there. So come, as you come, you pay, and you can do whatever.
Yeah.
You're doing. But the thing is that we have people sponsoring this thing. Mm-hmm. And the church is not using money for missions, is not using money for evangelism.
Yeah.
And our teachings for these young ones, for me, should change.
Build them up spiritually.
Should change.
Very true.
We should do more teachings on things that are happening now.
The reality. It's true.
Other than that, we invite people who have gone into it and God has saved them to come and share with them. And that is one of the things that we do.
Yeah.
When you go for missions, we have somebody who, sometimes somebody who has been a drug addict before, somebody who was homosexual, somebody who was into this, and we invite them to come. Because, you see, they come into it, and at a point, they get so frustrated.
Yeah.
That is what the devil works.
Mm-hmm.
And tells you, initially you enjoy it. It's just like, I think there's some tablets that is so sweet. It's sugar coated. Yes, but when you get inside and there for long, that is where you the see how bitter.
And you see the news I read.
Yes.
They are frustrated. They are not happy.
So, in fact, as a nation, we should, if we don't stand up now.
As for nation, they forget. Let's come to the church.
Well, the church.
Uh-huh.
We will see a lot of suicide among young ones.
Yeah. No, you see, the statistics I read. These things are advanced warnings. When you see it in the U.S., know that if nothing changes, we go on the same trajectory we are headed, we'll end up having the same level of statistics. Because it's the same demons that are working at, that are also here now.
Exactly.
So the effect will be the same.
Yes. So we really, really, really need to work on this thing. How we preach, parents get connected to your child. Get connected to your child. No friends that they move with. There are times that you need to say no and insist that they cannot, under your watch, they cannot do everything that they want to do. So there are certain things that they can do, but there are certain things that they are not allowed to do, and it's for their own good. It is for their own good. Otherwise, they get into it and they are so... In fact, we meet young ones who are so frustrated.
Exactly.
We've met young ladies, we knew them, they got into it, and now they are married, they cannot stop. They cannot stop. It's so difficult to come out of it.
Oh, yeah.
It takes God's intervention to come out of
it. It's a stronghold.
Yes. Stronghold. So the young ones that are there, the devil has targeted them.
The time.
We are praying that God will help us to really, really, just like we're doing. By God's grace, when we go for missions that we are doing, God is able, they're able to come. We pray for them. And sometimes it's not easy praying for some of them. You see the demons and other things, the deliverance that you have to do.
Manifestations.
Yes. You have the demons that you have to deal with. Mm-hmm. But we are praying. We are working on it, hoping that we'll be able to do more missions so that God will deliver more young ones for the future. Yes.
You know, listeners, all too soon, time is always an enemy when very serious things are being said. But we've not finished this series. It's very important to me because of the digital parenting aspect and all that. So it's important we keep addressing it, and I believe people are learning a lot. And you can repeat this on your own, listening to it online, spiritissues.info, or in the Telegram group. You can also listen to it there. The previous editions that you missed, you can listen to those ones as well. God willing, next week we'll be coming your way again. We'll be continuing from there, from tonight's edition. There's a lot that we have to understand. The forces at work now are not... It's not a child's play now. So if you are not ready to be a parent, then... Now you're a parent already, so then you have no option than to be a parent. Because you can't say that, well, I'm too busy. You have to be a parent. A real parent. Because we'll give accounts to God for our children. What is the use of bringing a child into this earth and you can't give account of that child and that child goes to hell? It's better you don't give birth to a child at all than to give birth to a child and that child is going to hell. So you see, we have a lot of work to do. Prayer. The teacher who told me about the strategy they are doing now, getting into prefectship positions and all that, said we have to pray. Eben, I had with me Brother Billy Bonsu from SU Ashanti Region. God willing, next week we'll be coming your way. Good night and God bless you.